Welcome to the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
We're here with the 29th episode of the Golf Podcast. Last week we did a Masters special. We talked about 10 interesting facts about the Masters. I think that was great. While we're recording right now, the Masters is just kicking off. It'll actually be over and done with by the time this podcast comes out on Sunday, actually late Sunday. So the Masters should be over by that time. But I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to it. Mike, you and I had a chance to get on the golf course this past weekend, which was great. We'll talk about that in a second. But this week's show, we're going to be talking about steel versus graphite shafts. I know a big thing that a lot of guys like to do in the spring and the kickoff of the season is like to gear up, purchase some new equipment, things like that. I can guarantee there's a lot of listeners who are going to be investing in some new irons this year. There's a lot of great ones that have come out on the market, and they'll continue to come at us kind of rapid fire. And the biggest decision that you're going to have once you decide on, you know, brand and make and stuff like that is going to be whether you get the steel or the graphite shafts. So, little bit of misconceptions with each. We're going to kind of go over those. We're going to try to guide you in a way that you can at least make a really educated decision about which is going to be best for your game. But Mike, let's talk about this past weekend. I had fun. It was cold. The golf course was not in the greatest shape, but it was good to be swinging a club, right?
Yeah, it felt good to get out there. You know, it was cold, you know, what was it, 50 degrees? But it was nice. It was nice to get the clubs out of the bag, try to improve the driver, which I've been struggling with as we kick off the season. But I had a lot of fun. The greens were kind of tough, but they're only going to get better. It's only going to get warmer out there. These things are going to start drying out, and the courses are going to start to get in good shape. But it was good to just play nine. I like that we just kicked it off with a nice, easy nine holes to kind of work out some kinks.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, the course was, as you said, it wasn't in the greatest shape. We had some temporary greens. There's some things that you just couldn't do much with, but it just shows you how many people, I mean, we talk about it show after show, but how many people were chomping at the bit to play because the place was packed.
Right.
I mean, you're serious waits by the time we left. It was starting to warm up in the afternoon. But what I had a really, you know, I learned a lot when I was out there playing, like I do every single time. It's just so true. A lot of the things that you had echoed last time we played, or last podcast where you talked about your first time out, you're doing really well, and then you were struggling towards the end. I got out there, I couldn't figure out my swing the first couple holes, then I strung together a couple pars, and then I kind of lost it again. And I tell you what it really shows me, and the one thing that I keep coming back to when it comes to really getting better at this game, the truth is you got to play. You got to get out there and hit some balls. We could talk, and we do every week, and we have so much content now on Golficity and the ebooks and the newsletters we send out with all these great tips, but really they're only as good as the amount that you're willing to go out there and apply them. I mean, the perfect example is this. Look, we went out there. It was the first time hitting the real course in 4 or 5 months. You know, it took me 3-4 holes just to figure my swing back out. Then I have it, and then I'm thinking about it, and I'm starting to lose it. You know, in order to make that real muscle memory that you see in a good golfer, somebody who goes out there and plays consistently all the time, is somebody who is playing and hitting balls all the time. I mean, look at the pros. These guys are obviously the best in the game at what they do, and I can guarantee you there isn't a pro on tour who doesn't hit 100 golf balls a day. I mean, if you think about between all the rounds and the range work they put in, I mean, I don't know if you've ever watched Micah. I know we watched a little bit when we were there at the Barclays, but even on TV, just constantly ball after ball, these guys are taking swings. And it just proves to me like it's very difficult to really get good at this game if you're just going to go out there once a week or every couple months. You know, do you agree with me?
Yeah, and how great would it be to hit 100 balls a day?
I would love it. Look, if I was getting paid to do it, obviously I would do it. But I think what I'm going to definitely do, and one thing that I really want to work on, is I'm going to make a commitment to trying to, even if I'm only getting to the course maybe twice a week this summer, trying to get to the range at least once a week as well. Just trying to space that out, because I think that the benefit of range work can't be understated, because it's that muscle memory. I know that a big part of my problem was the first couple holes, I'm thinking about it. All right, what am I doing wrong? Like, I've got to groove my swing. And I feel like you take that long to get warmed up and you start playing well and you're already, you know, on the fourth, fifth hole, and you can't keep up your scores, you know, because you had a couple bad holes. So I think that's one of the things I want to do, is I want to work on that muscle memory. It's just going down there and just hitting. And that's my commitment for this year anyway.
Yeah, but Frank, don't you find it that the ranges we go to, I can't hit off matted ranges. I mean, I could do it, but I'm like a scratch golfer on that type of range. You know, how many times are you hitting that 100-yard green out there with your wedge? It just seems so easy. I kind of think we need to find those grass ranges and kind of make it realistic, because it's such a difference from mat range to out on the course, especially for me, because I've been going to the range a lot over the last couple weeks, hitting off the mats and then going out to the course and just completely falling apart.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I had thought of that and I forgot to mention it here. It is true. And that's tough. It is tough to find one that has a real grass range. And going right to what I was saying a minute ago with the pros, if you watch, they're always on real grass. You know, these guys are obviously not hitting off of mats. And there is a lot to be said for that, because the feedback you get, we've talked about this in previous episodes, about the feedback back you can get even just from a divot and watching where the divot goes and you know, in the ground of how, as far as how you're swinging and things like that. But I think if you can't find a range that you can hit off, you know, real turf, you know, a range with a mat is better than no range, you know, but I agree. It's good to find. And another thing too is you don't want to go too far and say, listen, you know, I want to learn the game. I'm not going to go out on the course yet. I'm going to just keep going to the range. Well, that's swinging the pendulum too far the other way, because one thing that you definitely can't do on a range is simulate a lot of the different lies and things like that, like you're mentioning. Think about it. You can't do a lie above your feet, below your feet, things like this at the range. How many times, I mean, just you and I found this past round that a lot of strokes were taken up just kind of trying to do those different shots that you almost can't practice, like trying to, like, you know, curve it around a tree or whatever it may be, because it was such a tight course. So I agree. It's got to try to find that mix of different type of ranges and getting out there. But the most important thing, and like I said, my commitment is just to hit more golf balls. And if I can't find the time, if the courses are too backed up and I can't do it, I'm going to just put some range work in, because I think that muscle memory will go a long way, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. So let's also discuss, while we have a chance before we jump into this steel versus graphite debate, another big thing that we just had happen on Golficity, and I love it. I'm enjoying it. I encourage everyone to check it out, is our new Happening Now page. As you can imagine, news and things move so quickly now, and a lot of that is because of social media and the way that that's out there. So we put together this new page. You can go to golficity.com and you can just click right in the top menu. You can see the Happening Now button. It'll take you there. I love the layout. It just kind of shows you flashes of minute to minute what's going on around all the golf social networks, all the big news, all the trending, all the pros, everything in one place. We've got Twitter on there. We've got a Twitter feed from all the different pros. We've got it from the different manufacturers. You can see, like, TaylorMade and Titleist, they're on there. And then we even got the Instagram feed worked in, and soon we're going to have YouTube, and it's just going to keep adding more and more. But I love it because you're not having to jump around. You got everything in one place. You can kind of get a quick picture of what's going on. And right now it's really cool checking it out, being Masters Week. I mean, it's just, you know, wall to wall, all the great behind the scenes footage and things like that, where pros are snapping pictures at Augusta. And I'll be honest, Mike, I can't take my eyes off it. I've been loving it.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like the best thing to have over a morning cup of coffee. I mean, especially this week, like you said, it is. It's like backstage passes to the Masters, because these photos and these tweets, they're all coming from the pros themselves. And it's minute to minute, like you said. And I absolutely love it. It's so cool. I don't even need to watch the news on TV or Golf Channel.
Yeah, and it's so cool. And if you're signed in on your computer to Twitter or whatever you use, you can kind of just retweet, reply right there on the page. You know, you're not having to go through a long Twitter feed or going through your list. Everything you love about golf is in one place. So as you can probably tell, as I'm talking about it, I'm excited about it. It's been like the greatest addition we've had to the site in a while. So I definitely encourage everyone to check that out. I'm sure you'll enjoy it as much as we do. And give us your feedback. Make sure you let us know. You can tweet us at Golficity. Let us know what you think about that. And you'll see we'll slowly be integrating and working that in all different areas of the site. So you'll have that more of, like I said, that in the moment, right now, what's going on, breaking news type of thing. So definitely enjoy that and let us know what you think about it. So, but like, let's go right in. Let's talk a little bit about the steel versus graphite, because first, I want to get your take, Mike. I personally switched to steel just last year. I had been using, now when I say this, my clubs had gotten a little bit outdated, and you're probably going to laugh at me here, but I was, when I took the game back up, I was still playing my clubs back from when I was on the high school team. I still had the TaylorMade bubble shaft.
Wow.
Yeah, so now we're going back, but that was a graphite shaft. That was a little bit of a gimmicky thing they used to do back then with the bubble. I don't think it made much of a difference. It was just, that was the biggest club going back in, I don't even want to say how long ago it was that I was playing, but I've played graphite before. I made the switch to steel. I'm personally very happy with that switch, but I play with a lot of guys who play graphite, and I think that the point that we're going to be making here is that we want to kind of dispel these stereotypes that just, if you're this type of golfer or this age, you should be playing this, and if you're not, you should be playing that. It's not true. Really, what it's going to come down to, and there's been so much advancement in the technology of both, that you're going to really want to play both and see what fits your game and see what you're comfortable with, see what gives you that the best and highest comfort level when you're, you know, standing over the ball. But Mike, have you always played steel shaft?
No, I actually switched, I believe it was at the beginning of last year as well. I had the Nike Slingshot graphite irons, and I was a beginner. You know, I was just trying to learn the game and improve. And then I switched over to the steel shaft TaylorMade last year. And I thought the difference, I just, overall, more control. I was whipping through with my speed through the ball with the graphite shafts. My balls, they were all over the place, you know, off the fairway, over the greens. I had no idea what the distances were. And it's funny because I was playing with this older gentleman, and he said to me, "Why do you play graphite shafts? I mean, you're young, you got a big build. Why don't you try hitting a steel shaft?" And I started playing with him just to practice, and I was hitting the ball much further, and the ball control was, you know, much better, you know, hitting the ball straight and controlling my shots. So I said, "Hey, I'm going to make the switch. You know, I have nothing to lose, and this seems like it's feeling better, and I've been playing them ever since."
Right. And I had a very similar situation. I just decided that I wanted to try steel, and that's when I made the switch. But one thing that's important, and it's an interesting point you brought up about how the guy had pointed out, well, you're not older, and you know, why are you playing that? Because that's the common conception, is that, you know, the graphite shafts are going to be for seniors or for juniors, high handicappers, because there is a little bit more of a forgiveness there. There can also be a little bit more of a whip to it. But one thing to note, and this is something, if you haven't shopped for irons in a long time, you may not realize there are so many variations of stiffness out there. Whether you choose graphite or steel, still you're going to have that. You're going to have different levels of flex in the shaft. So that's one thing to consider. You can still get a graphite shaft that can be a stiff shaft. Now, it's not going to be as much as a steel. So it really depends on what your game warrants. And now for Mike, you're a long ball hitter, you know, you've got a faster swing, and you know club head speed and stuff like that, so you're going to be stepping up into that, and where you want to get even something stiffer than you can get with a graphite, that's where you move into a steel. But there's plenty of guys out there who are low handicappers who can still work with a good graphite shaft and go a little bit of a stiffer flex. But let's talk first of all about, you know, very basic stuff of just affordability. Generally speaking, if you're comparing, you know, apples to apples, steel is going to be your cheaper option. Graphite is a little bit more expensive, but again, you got to compare apples to apples. We can't be talking about, you know, a Wilson, you know, iron with a graphite shaft versus a Titleist with a steel. You know, there's still certain things that are going to play in. But if, let's say, you narrowed it down, you're going to get, you know, go with a set of pings. And then at that point, you can go with either the steel or the graphite. The graphite shafts, generally speaking, are going to be more expensive. So that's another reason to really put that time in and realize, do you want that? Is that where you want to be putting your money? Because you don't want to overbuy. You don't want to just grab, you know, a graphite shaft because that's what you've always used. Make sure you try out the steel. Now, I'm a big, big fan of getting your clubs fitted. I think I talked about this in a previous episode. And when I purchased my recent ones, I was fitted. I went with pings for my irons. But that was something that in the past you thought, you know, that's a lot of money to get fitted and things like that. But it's changed dramatically. Just about anywhere you go and just about any type of manufacturer is going to do fittings now. You don't have to necessarily go to, you know, a private club's pro or something to get fitted. You have great fitting facilities at a lot of the big stores like PGA Superstore. Mike, did you have your fitting at PGA Superstore?
It was one of those places. It was like a Golf Galaxy, golf smart right. place. But I did go to one of those places to get fitted.
Yeah, and that with the aid, especially of when they do it in store, where they have the those really sophisticated golf simulators that we've talked about in the past, where they can just kind of pick up all your dynamics and the pros are there. They're really the ones who are going to help you. And I think the biggest help that I had when I had my fitting, which I did with a pro on a range. The biggest thing that he helped me with is just seeing my club speed and stuff like that. He immediately helped me narrow it down. He just, because there were so many different options for these shafts of different types of flex and things like that. He just basically threw out the bottom ones and the very top ones as far as the real flex and the real, real stiff. He's just like, no, neither one of these is going to work for you. Here's a range of three. And it was basically from, you know, stiff flex to, you know, a little bit extra stiff. And he just, it was amazing what they can do is they can just actually just put them together right there on the, you know, they have the special types of clubs where they just fit them with the club head and the shaft. And I was able to compare them side by side. I can't tell you the benefit that is, where you can feel that little difference of just swinging one versus the other. And you feel that whip in your hands and which one of them, you know, feels a little bit better, which one has a better ball flight. And then having the pro there to say, you know, I like that flight better. That's more what you're looking for your game and that type of thing. But again, going back to what I was saying, generally speaking, the graphite is going to be a little bit more expensive, but if it works for your game, it might be worth the investment. The other thing to think about too is durability. Good quality graphite shafts have gotten much more durable, but steel is always going to be more durable than graphite. It's just the way it is. Mike, I was playing with my father the other day, and he's been a longtime fan of the Ping irons. He's gone through a couple different ones, and he's actually had, you know, and quite a bit of trouble. And I'm not trying to speak badly of Ping because I know they make a high quality product, but he's had quite a bit of trouble with splintering of his graphite shafts because he does play graphite, mm-hmm. and he's had quite a bit of ones that he's had to fix. Luckily, you know, Ping stands behind the product, so it's as simple as he sends it in, they repair it, or they you know, pop the head off and put a new shaft on and send it back to him. But there is a turnaround time, and I mean, you talk about a guy like him who's playing, you know, 4 or 5 times a week, and he's 2 weeks without his clubs because he's getting them repaired, and it's a little bit of a nuisance. Now, again, just like I said, he's playing a lot. I mean, he's probably getting 100 rounds a season out of these things, and he's getting every once in a while. But it is something to consider. I mean, a good set, as long as you take care of them and, you know, not letting them rust up by just leaving them out in the rain for weeks or anything like that. But if you have a good set of steel shafts, that should last you, you know, longer than you'll need them. You know, by then you're going to need new clubs for other reasons. I mean, it could last you 15, 20 years. Graphite, I wouldn't expect to go quite as long, especially they can be a little bit more finicky in like changes of temperature. If you're the type of guy who leaves your clubs in your trunk in the Arizona, you know, summer, you know, you may have some little bit of problems with that. But generally speaking, you know, the technology has come a long way, but durability is something to consider. If you're looking for something for a really long time, the steel is going to be a little bit more durable. Now, Let's talk also about the next thing is about the vibration and that feedback. Mike, when you switched to steel, do you feel like you had a little bit more vibration when hitting the ball than what you could feel with the graphite?
Yeah, at the very beginning I did. But, you know, once you, like anything else, once you learn how to hit them, you kind of forget about that feeling. And it just became natural. And I can never see myself going back to graphite after using these because it was such a huge difference making the change.
And that's the thing. Feedback, you know, in the form of as we talk about vibration or whatever, it can be good and it can be bad. You know, if you're a high handicapper and it's just a nuisance to you and you want to reduce that, sure, you may want to go over to the graphite. But if you're getting a lot of vibration, especially in your hands, it could mean that you're not making solid contact. And that's why a lot of people will actually switch to the steel so that they can get that feedback that they want. They want to know and they want to feel it. I mean, it's no different than if you were to be playing forged blades versus, you know, cast irons that are much bigger club head, much more forgiving. I mean, if you look at the pros, they're playing those forged blades. And if you hit that thing wrong, trust me, you're going to feel it. You know, that's going to have some serious vibration, but that's what they want. They want that feedback. They want to know that they're hitting that sweet spot. Whereas, you know, your weekend golfer might say, forget that. I don't want the feedback so much as I want the forgiveness. I want to know that if I hit it off the toe, it, you know, the club face and the shaft and everything is going to absorb that. And it's going to kind of just pull the ball back to where it needs to be. So that's another thing to consider. You may say, look, I'm a high handicapper. I'm just out there having fun and I don't really want to deal with that type of thing. And, you know, deal with the vibration that you feel. And when you hit it, it's like when you get a stinger with hitting with a baseball bat. And in that case, you know, you may want to consider the graphite, something to definitely think about, versus where if you want a little more feedback, steel might be better. And the last thing I want to mention is distance. Now, as you've heard us talk about before, there are a lot of things that factor into distance. It's not just going to be the shaft. I mean, we could talk about shaft length. We could talk about the sweet spot of the club. We could talk about so many different types of things. But assuming all else are equal, you know, again, taking all those factors out, you can make an arguable case that you'll be able to hit a steel shaft a little bit further because of the fact that you're getting that stiffness out of it and things like that. But you can also, on the other side of that, you can say, well, using a lighter graphite shaft is going to give me a little bit more swing speed. You know, some say graphite, the change in the weight can give you anywhere from 2 to 3 more miles per hour in club head speed, which could result in 5 to 10 more yards in distance. So it's one of those things, like, I don't want to say too much in one way or the other because they both have their different things that you could say that are their bonuses or their good things about them. But it is true. You can get a little bit more club head speed out of a graphite shaft. Again, what it's really going to come down to is hitting both of them. So whether you go and do this, there's so many different ways to do it. If you went into a fitting or if you just did this on your own, there's a lot of different both golf stores that'll let you do it in-house. There's a lot of pro shops that'll let you take a couple different clubs out with you, demo clubs out on the course. But the most important thing to do is try to hit them side by side and see which one are you getting more distance out of, which one are you getting more feedback out of. All those types of things, and then that'll be able to really help you. And I know one big benefit that I had personally when I had my fitting, we first started with, you know, the different lies of the club face, and we got that all narrowed down. And the very last thing we did as part of our fitting was the shaft itself. So everything else was already set. You know, the length of the club, I got measured up, things like that. The pitch of the club face as it sets on the ground based on my angle, you know, of approach, everyone's angle is a little bit different. Once we set all those things, so there was no more variables, that's when we went after the shaft. And it was as simple as I said, just clicking in different shafts and trying graphite, trying steel, trying different flexes. And then right there, you're able to make a really good assessment because you've narrowed down all those other variables. You're no longer worrying about those types of things. So that's my 2 cents as far as how I would approach it. If you're unsure, I'd say A very quick, very easy overview of purchasing your next set of irons would be, first, you know, go out, hit a couple different types of manufacturers, things like that. Get the feel for in your hand. Feel for which one you think you have the most comfort with. Once you've narrowed it down to a brand and a type, at that point, you may want to say, what are my options for fitting with this? Different clubs offer different fittings. You know, go through the process. And the very last thing you do is decide on what shaft you want. But if you take anything away from what we're talking about here, I think the biggest thing would be, don't just go in there and buy off the rack graphite or steel based on, you know, what you have heard, you know, or especially don't go in and buy graphite because the price is higher. So you assume, well, they must be better. Everyone's game is different. Everyone's going to have a different feel. Everyone has a different swing speeds. The key is to hit them both. You know, take those demo clubs out, get that fitting. There's just so many different resources that you have now that you may not have had in the past. Visit a PGA Superstore, something like that. So that's my biggest advice. Mike, do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, I just want to add that when you do go get fitted for these irons, the best piece of advice is, because it could be so overwhelming with all the options on the shelf, I simply went in there, Frank, and I asked the guy, the pro, I said to him, you know, here's my price range, here's my handicap, narrow it down to the best three you think I should play, and bring them in all the different shafts that they're available. And he did that, and I narrowed it all the way down from, you know, he sold me on the cheaper TaylorMade burner irons over the Rocket Blades irons, which were at the time, I think they were about $150 more. And he told me, based on, you know what I've noticed in your analysis, you should buy the cheaper ones. And, you know, that's what I did. So it was easy to do. I wasn't in the store long. I was probably there for about a half hour. And then I went home that night, and I went online and I ordered them.
Yeah, you can't beat that. And that's a perfect example of what I'm saying, is use the resources that are there. Let me ask you this, Mike. Did it cost you anything extra to use the pro to go through that process?
No, I think they're basically doing that for free. I mean, you'll see the sign in all the stores, free club fitting. You know, you'll see that everywhere because they just want to make the sale on the irons, or the clubs you're buying. So I think most places now are doing it for free.
And that's great because that's credible, especially if these guys are working off commission or trying to make the sales and he doesn't just put you into the higher priced iron. It shows that they're really finding what's best for your game. So that's what I'm saying. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to try. You're making a pretty significant investment. I mean, a good set of irons, you're looking at spending anywhere from, you know, $500 to $1,000. I mean, they go well above that when you start to get into like the real pro quality stuff. But if you're making that type of investment, it would be silly to just go out in there and buy something off the rack because, you know, you saw a commercial, you heard something from a friend and you went in there, picked it up and felt good in your hands and you bought it. It's not something you want to commit to. I mean, especially if you're seriously playing, like we talk about, you know, week in and week out, and it's obviously your equipment is a huge part of your game. So I would definitely say do what Mike did, inquire, go into the golf stores, ask, you know, who do they do fittings? What is the fitting cost? Hopefully it's free. And if so, you know, what can they do? And then go up to them and say, this is my game. Like Mike said, tell them what your game is. Tell them what your handicap is. Tell them what you're looking for and let them narrow it down. It's no different than what I said, where I went out on the range and I was hitting a couple and the pro right away was says, look, This type of flex shaft is never going to work for you. Neither is this kind. Forget those. Why waste our time hitting them? You're going to be somewhere in this range. You know, he had about three different shafts and I went back and forth, and don't be afraid to spend the time. You know, I hit one for a while, hit another one, said, well, let me feel that other one again, and went back and forth. So it's worth it. It's worth investing your time in, because what you're going to do is you're going to come out of it with a club that you feel is custom for your game. And I can't tell you how much of a change that makes, because you feel that comfort level in your equipment is going to make you comfortable with your game. It's going to make you, you know, just play better, because you're going to feel much better out there. So that's definitely a good point, Mike. All right. So what do you think? You think you and I will get out there again soon this weekend, maybe? I know you're going away at some point, but do you want to try to sneak out there Saturday?
Yeah, I was going to mention to you, set your alarm for early Saturday and let's try to play a full 18.
We got to. I hope so. Today was a nice 62 degrees. I was itching to get out there, but I've been swamped at the office, so I haven't had a chance. But I definitely want to try to make it happen on Saturday.
You know, Frank, it's a quick, funny story. I played yesterday 9 holes after work, And I got teamed up with this guy, this gentleman. He didn't speak a word of English, so we didn't speak the whole nine holes. Anyway, he was a righty golfer, but a lefty putter. Have you ever seen this?
No, I can honestly say I've never seen. We've talked about saying people who are righties, but they play golf lefty. But how is that? How did that work out for him?
I don't know. On the first hole, I was like scratching my head because I was like, wait a minute. I could have sworn he was righty on his approach shot. And then, of course, you know, on the next tee, he pulled out the righty driver. I mean, he was, you know, terrible golfer, you know, either way, righty or lefty. But, you know, so I just thought it was interesting to see that.
Maybe he's got to make up his mind. Hey, that reminds me. How about this past weekend, that one incident that was kind of funny? Weeks ago, we had an episode on golf etiquette. We talked about like unwritten rules of golf etiquette. And this one was funny. And it just reminded me because you said about the language barrier. We had played with another gentleman this past weekend who didn't really speak English. And do you remember he drove the green on that short par four?
Right.
And it was just one of those situations, like, if we could communicate a little better, I might have told him, like, hey, maybe don't hit because they're right there. But then they got mad at us on the green. And then what could we do but just be like, you know, defer to him and say, sorry. And, you know, he hit. But there was definitely that language barrier that made it a little bit difficult.
And then he put the eagle putt about 11 feet past the hole and ended up parring it. It was bad.
But hey, you can say he drove the green. But that was, I mean, what was it? Like a 260 par four because of the temporaries that were in? I mean, I should also have said that. There was a temporary green was part of the problem. But we probably, you know, the rest of us were kind of waiting for them to get off before we hit. But he just stepped up there and that was funny. I got a kick out of that one. So anyway, that's everything we have for this week. We are going to be back again with more soon. In the meantime, like I said, as always, you can check us out on the web at golficity.com. We have our Facebook, Twitter pages, Google+, lots of different ways you can interact with us. As always, you can get in touch with Mike and I directly by going to emailing us at podcast@golficity.com. But again, I encourage you, check out at golficity.com our new Happening Now page. I really think you're going to enjoy that. And give us the feedback. Email us, tweet us, let us know what you think about that. Also, if you enjoy the show, we really love the feedback. If you could leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher or anywhere you listen to the podcast, those are the two big ones, but there's a lot of other places that you can hear us. You can leave us your review there. We really appreciate it, and we will probably grab a chance to read those on the show. So I want to thank everybody again for listening. We will have plenty more coming up soon. The golf season's coming into full swing. Like I said, the Masters and warming up. So we're excited, and we're going to have more for you really soon. So check back with us again next week, and we'll talk to you then.